how do you feel that the midterms went sort of just nationally? Yeah. What did you see in those results?
I saw a lot of promise. So, you know, overall, we saw the map of America change back to pre-Trump, which is wonderful, with the exception of Ohio. You know, throughout the United States, we found that solutions are what resonated, and it's what moved people to the polls. Republicans, Democrats seem to be on the same page as far as they were tired of the divisive conversations. They wanted to know what their elected officials would do for them. We are able to have conversations again with our neighbors. It might still be strained a little bit, but the conversations are starting. And I think that that is something that I am proud of as far as my particular campaign being a part of. And we're seeing a lot more policy coming from legislators of all political experience levels, pushing their policies closer to the people. And that's what we were all aiming for.
Yeah, what did you see in Delaware? You know, there was some talk of a blue wave coming through with our, you know, statewide offices. And there was also some little shakeups in the General Assembly.
Absolutely. So, like you said, we did see something very similar here. Democrats really did sweep this state. Now the work really begins, because if we basically control every council and school board and you name it, we have to prove that we are truly the party that is going to move the people forward. We saw so many primaries in the state. It helped bring out an electorate that we hadn't seen before. We now are going to have an amazing progressive caucus that is going to put a little more pressure on policy that forces more of a working class eye on things. And I'm very excited about that.
Your impact on Delaware this election cycle is kind of what I want to ask you about. Do you feel that, and I guess this is a conversation that's being held nationally a little bit, the soul of the Democratic Party, is it moving more progressive? Is it moving younger? I'm curious if you feel that your candidacy has changed kind of like the Democrat energy in Delaware. Is it moving somewhere? And if you think it is, do you think that's kind of tracking with these bigger national trends, or is it different?
I absolutely feel that it has created a push towards what I say, towards the people. Mm-hmm. Our elected officials are now trying to prove that they are truly the elected officials for the people. And that is something that they didn't have to do before. In the state of Delaware, especially because we're so small, simply knowing somebody and being kind was enough to get you elected. And now people are saying, yes, you're my friend, but you're also my elected official, and those are two separate relationships, and I expect this from my elected official. And if you're not meeting this standard, then there will have to be changes. And I think that that's important, especially in a state of this size. Otherwise, we get in a rut, and we're not going to be able to move forward, and that's where we were at. And I am, I know that it was a bit jarring at first with my campaign to the establishment, but I think, well, I don't think, I know that they changed. They were far more welcoming than we had thought they would be. Certainly, Senator Carper, many of his policies shifted closer to the people. I am anxious to see him sign on to some of the bills that he said that he would support during the campaign. While we were proud of pushing him to the left with rhetoric, I would like to see the actions completed.
So I definitely want to talk about kind of where you're at now, what you're focusing on now. You were posting an article about how it's hard to run when you're not a millionaire. I also saw recently an email that was sent out kind of about still, you know, dealing with campaign debt. And I think that was a while ago, so I'm not sure where you stand. But
so it is very difficult to run when you're not independently wealthy. But the challenge is something that can be overcome. But at the end, there are hardships. And so with this particular campaign, we had leftover debt of $14,000 between what we paid out to run our texting campaign. At the end, we were able to pay a few canvassers, and payroll taxes hurt. At the end, we wanted to give all we had. We had to put it all on the field, and momentum was building. And so, you know, there are those costs. However, it is scary as a working person who doesn't make enough money as it is oftentimes, and you're wondering how are you going to pay these bills. And so I put out an email. One was to educate people. For the people who intend to run, so that they know what they're up against, and to know that the support is needed well past the finish line. I often my daughter wants to run track, and I always tell her, your race, you don't stop running until after you pass the finish line. And it's the same thing. We have to keep running, and we're still running. Encouraging people to help tackle that debt and then paying into the debt myself is important. But at the same time, I can't stop the work. And so my option is, do you go back and get a 9-to-5, which prevents you from continuing the work of the campaign? Or do you continue the work and it take a little longer to chip away at that that debt? And so I reached out to people. We still have about $10,000 left to raise / to pay off. And it's going to come. People like myself and others who ran quote-unquote insurgent campaigns, we're trying to learn the terrain so that others that come behind us have a roadmap. And one of the things is going to be, how do we make sure that people don't fall behind? If they have sacrificed things to run, can we make sure that it is not something that others shy away from because they say, I'm not going to take on that debt, right? And so if we're going to go in it as a village, as a community, we have to make sure that we follow each other all the way through to the end.
You mentioned the work is continuing. Tell me a little bit just about what your work looks like right now and any kind of specific ends that you're working toward.
So one of the things, as soon as the primary ended, I was working in a number of capacities. In the state, I was making sure that people found a way to continue to be involved, whether it was on other campaigns or building up capacities on their own for when 2020 comes. And then I received a call from Kent County Democratic Party, and they asked if I could help promote some candidates. And then outside of the state, the same thing. So I traveled to New York. I was in Pennsylvania. Did some work in Maryland to make sure we were pushing candidates. And then in addition, I've been working to build committees in the state. And if anybody listening is interested, I'm building committees that represent all three counties and are diverse and dealing with the issues that we said were important during the campaign. When I speak of diversity, I include political affiliation. I believe that the people will lead the way for the legislators to show that we can find common ground on all of the major issues that we speak of. And if they can't figure it out, we can give them the legislation and they just have to vote on it. And then at the national level, I am involved with the Medicare for All. We're with the House. We are, Representative Jayapal is drafting a new Medicare for All bill, which is filling in many of the holes that were in the Senate bill. We're excited about that. And on the 13th, we go back for the next draft reading. But Delaware, you will see a petition going out in the next couple of days for you to show support, but also to list your red line items, meaning what you feel has to be involved in a Medicare for All bill. Some of the things, just as an example, before there was no hearing protection involved, so now hearing aids will be included, dental will be included, long-term care will be included. But there may be things that we did not think of that we need you to say, please include this. This is your time to have your voices heard. This is where power is created. And the groups that are involved and Representative Jayapal want to know. There is currently a Medicare for All caucus. It is the first issue-based caucus in the history of the House of Representatives. And we have so many representatives signed on. They want to make this happen for you. Let your voices be heard. And this is an issue that people rally around regardless of their party. Let's show that we can pass this. Also, dealing with the Green New Deal, it will bring new jobs, and it will clean our environment, and it will save us from this 12-year threat that truly threatens to destroy our planet, and we cannot let that happen. And this, again, is something that, regardless of party, people can rally behind. So if you're interested in either of those issues on a national level, please reach out. And we are also working on reforming the 1994 crime bill so we can cut down on incarceration. And in our state, You name it, we're working on it. So please reach out. You can reach me personally at Carrie Evelyn at CarrieEvelynHarris.com or at info@CarrieEvelynHarris.com. And we will get you into one of these committees and moving forward and participating fully in this democracy and making sure we're holding legislators accountable.
Are you going to run again? For what?
I have no plans at this moment to run. I am not ruling it out. It has to be the right office. It has to be the right time. Currently, I'm focused on building power for the people of Delaware, making sure that people realize that Delaware is a place to watch because we will show the way to create change, and making sure that anywhere I can show up to encourage the youth to become more involved, I will, whether it's in-state or out-of-state, and helping to draft policy that is going to change how we live and making sure that everybody can thrive.